Okay, today's daf is Ksubas Daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding on to Lamed Vavim Beis. We're just past the Mishnah on Lamed Vavim Beis. The Mishnah discusses the Machlokas, whether a Shavuya is B'Kedushasa Kaima or not. Do we assume that a Shavuya is untouched and she's therefore okay? Or do we assume not that way? Do we assume that she has been violated in her captivity? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether it's mutter to marry a shvuya if the person himself who was poda her. Is he allowed to marry a woman that he was poda? And Gemara is going to spend a good deal of time on Amud Aleph questioning Rabbi Yehuda's assumption that shvuya b'kedushasa kaima. We're going to question from a variety of places that it seems not that way. That Rabbi Yehuda himself seems to hold not that way. That shvuya is not b'kedushasa kaima. And then from the bottom of Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to quote several psukim that seem to all indicate the same basic idea that kam le bidrav mineh, that if a person is chayv two onshim, we give him the worst of the two onshim. So why do we need so many psukim to tell the same thing? Many of the psukim we quote are going to teach another idea that when a person is chayv in onesh, it's not okay to just pay it off with money. You have to get the onesh. You can't just, if you're chayv misa, you can't just pay and get out of your misa. And we're going to have all sorts of psukim that seem to indicate that idea as well. And the Gemara is going to try to explain why we need each of those psukim to tell me that you can't just pay off with money. And then the Gemara is going to have along the way a limud that the Misa of Hereg is somehow equated with Egla Arufa, and some details that we learn from Egla Arufa, and that's essentially all the major topics of the daf. So let's begin again on Lamed Vavim Beis. We had mentioned yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that a Shvuya Sheniftis Hareil B'Kedushasa, that a woman who was held in captivity and is then redeemed from captivity retains her sense of Kedusha. We assume that she was not Ne'enas in captivity. So the Gemara had suggested that that's exactly what Rabbi Dosa holds, because Rabbi Dosa writes that a Shavuya can continue to eat Truma when she's let out of captivity. So don't you see that she doesn't become Pasul? Because Rabbi Dosa says what? V'chim Yabnesha Mi'echla Ben Dadeh Pasul Min Akuna. Just because this Arab has physically messed with her a little bit, it means that she's going to be pasul. We don't assume that he was ma'anes her. So it sounds that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa hold the same exact idea. So what we concluded with yesterday was the Gemara saying no, they're not saying the same exact idea. That Amar Rava or Rabbi, depending on the girsa, Dilmaloi. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only says by a shvuya she's assumed to be b'kedushasa, so that someone who's ma'anes her should not benefit by not having to pay a knas. So we say, yeah, she's assumed to be b'kedushasa. In that, you have to pay a knas if you're ma'anes her. But to give her truma, Rabbi Yehuda would never say to give her truma. He would hold like the rabbanon that you don't give her truma. And maybe Rabbi Dosa would only allow giving her truma because truma is only midrabanan. But when you're dealing with a kenas payment, which is a din d'oraisa, maybe Rabbi Dosa would say not like Rabbi Yehuda, and would have to assume like the rabbanan that we do not give her kenas, that she's not entitled to the kenas midoraisa. Amar le Abaye, about 10 lines before the lines get wide. Amar le Abaye, v'taymid Rabbi Yehuda acha shalei chotei niskaru, is the reason that Rabbi Yehuda assumes that this shvuya is perfectly okay because of shalei chotei niskaru, that we simply don't want the ma'anes to benefit by not having to pay kenas. V'taymid, we have a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda omer, shvuya shenishveis harehi b'kedushasa, afilu bas eser shanim ksubasa mesayim, that a shvuya that is redeemed from captivity retains her kedusha, and even if she's 10 years old, her ksuba is masayim. Her ksuba is going to be 200, and that's obviously v'hasa ma'ishal yichotei niskarika. That's not a chotei niskar issue about how much money her ksuba is worth. That's about what she really is. It's interesting that we say even if she's a bas eser shanim. The Rashash points out very strange. Why would we say even if she's 10 years old of all ages to pick? Why would you say 10 years old? You want to say more than 3? Good, because that's when Tashmish matters. You want to say she's a Gedola, a Nara? What does 10 have to do with anything? So the Rashash says two possibilities. First of all, it could be that we find that at the age of 10, there's more of a chashash for bia, because the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Afeyaf Ambeis, says that when a girl becomes a bas teisha v'yom echad, which is in her 10th year, it's asr for a father to sleep with his daughter, b'kiruv basar. And Rabbi Huda's telling us that even by a shvuyah bas esar shanim, even if the shvuyah is bas esar shanim, which she's already holding at that stage in life, still we're not choshesh for bia. The second possibility, he says, is that just like we find in the Lashon of the Torah, lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem, and the Gemara Yavam Sayin Ches says that a mamzer is also the olam, so you see that the number 10 is a number that's used when we're trying to describe an extreme. That 10 means like a very high number and more. That a mamzer afil b'dor asiri lo yavo b'kal Hashem. What does the Torah mean, even the 10th generation? What about the 11th generation? Also not allowed to be yavo b'kal Hashem. But 10 is the number that the Torah uses when it means when it wants to say a very big number. So 10 means 10 and more. So if you're also when the Mishnah, when the Gemara uses or the Tana Rabbi Yehuda uses that word the number 10, when he chooses that number, he means 10 or greater. He means even 10, even 11, even 12, even 15. Doesn't make a difference how old the Shvuyah is. But the bottom line is, you see that Rabbi Yehuda is not based on Shalei Chotin Iskar. Answer the Gemara, Hasan Nami, Dilma Mimni'i, Velo Nasfila. No, over there also, the concern is that we're afraid people aren't going to want to marry her. That's why we have to make her ksuba be worth 200. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that a girl retains her kedusha of Tanya Hapodes a Shvuyah Yisaena? But after all, doesn't the Braisa say that if a person is poda a Shvuyah, if a person redeems a woman from captivity, he's allowed to marry her? Meid ba lo Yisaena. If he testifies about a woman that nothing happened to her in captivity, then he's not allowed to marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bein Kach Ubein Kach Lo Yisaena. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to marry her no matter what. If you're a poder, if you're a maid, but you're not allowed to marry a shvuyah. So doesn't this seem to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do assume something happened to her in captivity? So frankly, but anyway, that whole brisa doesn't make sense. Hagufa kasha. The brisa itself is a stira mine ubei. Amrit hapodes hashvuyah yisa'ena. First it says that if you're poder shvuyah, you're allowed to marry her. Vadutana maid ba lo yisa'ena. And then it says, and if you testify about her, you're not allowed to marry her. Mishum de meir ba lo yisa'ena, just because you testify about her, it means you're not allowed to marry her. So says Mara holo kasha, hachi kamar. What it means to say is as follows: Hapodes hashvuya u meir ba yisa'ena. If a person is podes hashvuya and he's also meir about her, then he's allowed to marry her. And the svara is that if he wasn't sure that she was okay, he never would have spent money on her. The fact that he spent money on her shows that he's confident that she's okay. But Meirba, if he only was Meirba about her, if all he did was be Meirba, lo yisa'ena, then he's not allowed to marry her, because then we're afraid that maybe he was Meirba about her because he wanted to marry her, but there was no investment that he had to take. But Mikol Makom Kasha L'Rabbi Yehuda. So that answer is the first part of the Braisa. But we still have a Kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said, Bein Kach Bein Kach, Lo Yisa'ena. Rabbi Yehuda apparently was worried that something happened to her in captivity. Isn't that a stira to what we're saying, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's B'Kedushas HaKaima? Answers the Gemara, couple of possibilities. Possibility number one, Amrav Papa, Ema, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bein Kach Bein Kach Yisa'ena. One thing is you could just change the text, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say Bein Kach Bein Kach Lo Yisa'ena, Rabbi Yehuda says Bein Kach Bein Kach Yisa'ena, that you can marry her, she's B'Kedushas HaKaima. Once we're changing the text anyway in the first part of the Braisa, so we see that there's something off in the text of this Braisa, so maybe we could change the text in the second part of the Braisa as well. The Ritva asks Akasha, the Braisa says Lo Yisa'ena, has the Gemara just allowed to change the text? So the Ritva suggests that maybe the Gemara, what the Gemara means to do is to be mefarish the Lashon of the Braisa in the Lashon of Bitmiya. Bein kach, lo yisa'ena. No, you think? So he's saying, no, bein kach yisa'ena. That's what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says bein kach lo yisa'ena. I thought more pashut that we're changing the text anyway. So once you change the text anyway, so the whole Braisa is obviously something was a little off in the Masorah of the Braisa. Second possibility, Rav Huna b'Rav Yishua Amar, liolam kediktani Rabbi Yehuda l'dvrei kediktani. Really, we keep it kediktani, keep it the way it says it. And Rabbi Yehuda l'dvrei d'rabban kamalu. Rabbi Yehuda did say Ben Kach Lo Yisa'ena, But what he was saying was on the Rabbanan's own level, meaning he was responding to them on their own level. Lididi, according to me, says Rabbi Dabin Kach Ben Kach Isa Ena. I hold you can marry her either way. But you who are going to be choshesh that things happen to her in captivity, then either way, you should not allow him to marry her. And the Rabbanan would respond, that if he was poda her, if he invested money in redeeming her, then he's allowed to marry her because there's no way he would invest money for nothing. It must be that he was confident that she was really okay. But if all he did was be made by, then he cannot marry her, because then we're afraid that maybe he just had the idea that he was going to marry her. No, the Buddha is not sure, and the Buddha raises a suffix in a tshuva in Ebenezer Tinyana Simon Ches. If he does marry her, does he have to divorce her? Right, lo yisa'ena. But what if they actually do get married? Tosefta, it says Beferish that lo yotzi, that he doesn't have to divorce her. The Ritva quotes that Tosefta, the Ritva in Yevamos and Daf Chafei quotes that Tosefta and asks, why is it that a that's made on a woman that her husband has died, he's not allowed to marry her, and if he does marry her, he has to divorce her, but an aid who's made on a shvuya that she's tahora does not have to divorce her. What's the difference between being made that a woman's husband died and being made that a shvuya is tahora? Either way, you're not allowed to marry her, so why should it be that in the former case you have to divorce her if you do, and in the latter case you don't have to divorce her? So the Ritva suggests that it could be that there's no clear cheshash that she was nivela by a shvuya, because shvuya will do whatever she can to be menavelis as atzma, to make herself as unattractive and as ugly as possible, hoping that her captors will not be interested in her, and therefore there's less of a cheshash of a bia. And also, the iser to kuhuna is only an iser lav, and therefore maybe the rabbanan are more makel by the iser to kuhuna of a shvuya, which is the operative iser by a shvuya, rather than by an eshes ish, where we're dealing with an iser misas bezdin. So that would be something that would be a more severe iser. So maybe there's a difference between the two. Okay, so further in the Gemara, Rami Lerav Papa Bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel asked the following steer to Rav Yosef. Does Rav Yudah really hold b'kedusha sakayma that the woman retains her assumption of kedusha, and we assume that nothing happened to her while she was in captivity? V'atanya, we have a brisa giyores in Skyra. V'ras Adam, if you have a giyores that converted to Judaism and she sees dam, Rav Yudah Omer Daya Shaita. Rav Yudah says, how far back do we assume that the taros that she touched are tameh? See, nowadays we always assume dayashaita, whenever a woman becomes a nida, we assume she's a nida from that moment. You don't have to start thinking back, oh, how long has she really been a nida? You start counting the 5 days from that moment. Everything starts from that moment. But back in the days where they had taros, where you had to think about, well, which kalim did she touch? What chairs did she sit on? Did she touch any kachim or truma or whatever? So you had to really think about these things. So the first mission, Maseches Nida, discusses if a woman is rasa Adam, how far back do we assume that she was Tamea? Is it me Ace la Ace? Do we go back 24 hours? Is it Mifkida Lifkida that we go back to the last time she checked and we assume every moment since the last time she checked she was Ra Adam? Or is it me Ace la Ace, Mima Etasaide Mifkida Lifkida, Mifkida Lifkida, Mima Etasaide Me Ace, whichever was more recent, either the last 24 hours or Mifkida Lifkida, or maybe even Daya Shaita, that you just assume right now when she found the blood, that's when she saw it. So by a Giyores, we assume Dayashaita. We assume that right now she saw the blood, that's when she's Tamea. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harei Kikola Nash, meaning assuming on the day, if she sees blood, on the day of her conversion. Rashi explains, we can't be Matarame her May Ace La Ace, because 24 hours ago she was a guy, and a guy doesn't have Tumas Nida. Why aren't we Matame her Mefkita Lefkida? He said, we wouldn't do that. Rashi says, we wouldn't do that unless we're ready being Matame her May Ace La Ace. Meaning, only if you have the possibility of May Ace La Ace will we be metame a woman mifkita lefkida to her last bedika, to the last time that she checked herself. But if there is no tumas me'es le'es, then we're not going to be metame mifkita lefkida either. Right? Rashi says, tumal l'mafreya is a dindra banan, so ve'hech le'dika le'migzer me'es le'es, shalem gozer mifkita lefkida. Ve'hech lo gozer me'es le'es, lo gozer mifkita lefkida. That is Shitas Rashi, how Rashi understands our Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, harei kikol nashu metame me'es le'es mifkita lefkida. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we treat her like any other woman, and therefore we go back to Me'es Le'esrim and Pekidul Pekida. Utzricha lahamtin gimel chadashim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says she needs to wait 3 months after her gerus before she gets married, just in case she's pregnant from someone else from before her gerus, and we need to be mavchin between a zerah shenizra b'kedusha and a zerah shenizra shelo b'kedusha. Rabbi Yossi matir liaris l'nasi miyad. Rabbi Yossi says, nah, she can get married right away. You don't have to wait the 3 months. But bottom line is, we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that we're not concerned that anything happened to a shavuya, that she was ever nevelis to anybody. And here by Giyaris, he says she has to wait 3 months. Apparently we are concerned by a Giyaris. Now the obvious answer is that there's a difference between a Giyaris and a shavuya. Now that's going to be the Gemara's answer, but in the Havamina we're assuming that they're the same. So Tosa says, wait a second, let's try to put ourselves in the mind frame of the Havamina, that a Giyaris and a shavuya are exactly the same. If you're going to think that a Giyaris and a Shvi are the same, then you should have a problem with our very Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yehuda only says that the Mishnah talks about a Giyaris, a Shvuya, a Shivcha, talks about all three cases, and it's only in the case of a Shvuya that Rabbi Yehuda says B'kedusha Sakaima, that she retains her Kedusha. Rabbi Yehuda never said anything like that. When it comes to a Giyaris, well, why not? If you think they're exactly the same, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the Tanakam about the Giyaris as well? Va'amari says, tells us to Masnis and Asi Le'Shapir, de moda b'Giyaris shein l'knas, de vada hi b'cheskas b'ula shenivala ba'ud shloya daita l'zgayar. When it comes to a Giyaris, when it comes to a knas payment, which is the subject of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moda that a Giyaris doesn't get knas, because we assume at some point during her life she wasn't planning on converting, and if she wasn't planning on converting, she would have been mafgir herself. And even if she was planning on converting, from the day she turned 3 years old, but still she wouldn't be able to protect herself so well from being violated, because she's not ru'ilis aber. But a woman who has to wait 3 months, but the halacha that you have to wait 3 months, even though she was planning on converting and she was going to protect herself because she knew that she was planning on converting any time in the last 3 months, presumably she was already planning on converting. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda equates with that halacha of waiting 3 months. That's where we assume that she's going to try to protect herself, just like a shvuya would try to protect herself, and therefore it should be the same din. That's the Havamina. Says the Gemara, the answer though, I'm like Giyaris, a shvuya karamis. You're asking a stira between a Giyaris and a shvuya. Giyaris lo mintera nafsha. A Giyaris doesn't protect herself. Shvuya mintera nafsha. A shvuya will be able to protect herself. V'rami shvuya ashvuya. So ask the Gemara, I could still ask you a stira within the world of shvuya itself, that Rabbi Yehuda still isn't consistent. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that a shvuya is assumed to be perfectly fine b'kedushas hakayma, but the Tanya, we have a brisa, hagiyares v'ashvuya v'ashivcha sheniftu v'shin skayar v'shin shachru yiseru salbanos gimel shanam yom echad. If any of these people are let out of their situation past the age of 3, tzrichos lamtin gimel chadashim div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to wait 3 months. Even a shvuya has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi matir liaris l'nasi miyad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, they can get married right away. But bottom line is, it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said a shvuya is perfectly fine. Over here he says that she has to wait 3 months after being let out of captivity before getting married. Ishtik. So he had no response to that question. That's a real strong kasha. Amalei midi shmielachba. So he said, maybe you heard something. You're asking the kasha. Maybe you heard something that could suggest an answer. Sometimes people ask a kasha because they don't know the answer. Sometimes people ask kasha because they want you to hear their answer. So midi shmielachba, do you have an answer? So amalei hachiam Rav Sheshes shereuah shenivala. Rav Sheshes says the case of the shvuya that Rabbi Yehuda says has to wait 3 months is a case where we saw that she was nevelas. Well, if we saw that she was nevelas, why does Rabbi Yossi let her get married right away? That doesn't make sense that the Brice is talking about where we saw that she was nevelas. If a woman is mezana, she'll use birth control. She'll be mishameshes b'moch to make sure that she doesn't become pregnant. That's what Rabbi Yossi is relying on. That makes sense by a giyaris. She plans on converting, so she'll make sure she doesn't get pregnant. It also makes sense by a shvuya, because she doesn't know what her future holds, where they're going to sell her off to, and if she might end up back in Jewish hands. So she's going to want to make sure that she's okay, that she's not getting pregnant. Shivcha nami deshama mi pimara. A shivcha also, it makes a certain amount of sense, because Vayeshivcha, she'll also want to protect herself because she'll hear what's going on and where she's going to be sold to and whether she's going to be let free. But let's say it's something that happened suddenly, something that a shivcha, there was no way that she could have predicted that she was going to be let free. She was a shivcha that whose master blinded her or knocked out her tooth, where the halacha is that she automatically goes free. So there was no planning in advance that she was going to go free. So what's to tell us that she would make sure not to get pregnant? And if you're going to say, well, in that case, Rabbi Yossi would not say that you're allowed to get married right away. Maybe when you're Yotze B'Shein Va'ayin, Rabbi Yossi would say, you taka, do have to wait 3 months, just like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Hare Anusu Mufuta B'Memela, V'Tanya Anusu Mufuta Tzrich Zamtin Gimel Chadashim Dev Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Matir Laris Nenasa Miyad. But what about a girl who's Nenas or is Mufuta? Rabbi Yossi says she's allowed to get remarried right away, even though she had no way to prepare in advance for that event. A girl is Nebuch raped, she doesn't know to prepare birth control and to be ready for that. So that's also something that happens very suddenly. So you see that even by things that happen very suddenly, Rabbi Yossi says she's allowed to get married right away. Ella Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, no, the Varden Rabbi Yossi is as follows. Kosav Rabbi Yossi Isha Mezana Mishapeches Kedei Shelot Tesaber. Rabbi Yossi holds that if a woman is Mezana, she'll turn her body over to make sure that all the Shechva Zera drains from her so that she won't become pregnant. V'idach, and Rabbi Yehuda would respond, Cheshin Hashem Lo Nevcha Yafa Yafa, that is not the most effective form of birth control, to try to turn her body over afterwards. So Rabbi Yehuda says that we're afraid that maybe it's not going to work so well if she tries to turn her body over. But that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a question some of the poskim raise over here. Can you bring a raya from here when we say Isha Mezana Mishapeches, that a woman is not mitzuva on hashchasas zara? Because if she was mitzuva, how could we assume that any woman that's Mezana is going to violate this iser? So by a mufuta, you could say, okay, she doesn't have a cheskas kashrus anyway. So just like she was willing to do znus, so she'd be willing to do ashchas azara. But by an anusa, why would we make this assumption? So that's what the Ar Gadol suggests. But he's doche, he says, no, even if a woman is mitzuva not to be mashcha zara, that's only if she was nevelas baratzon. But if she was nevelas baones, she's not meshuba to be machzik that zara in her body. Zara that she didn't invite into her body, she's not meshuba to be machzik. A very interesting svara. You would think that hashchas azara is its own independent iser, that it doesn't matter about the circumstances of Hashchas HaZera. But that's what the Or Gadol suggests, that if she didn't invite that Zera into her body, she's not Meshubad to keep such Zera in her body. La halacha, the Rishonim debate, who to paskin like over here, whether we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. The Rif, Yivamos Yilam and Aleph, says halacha Rabbi Yossi, because that's the klal. The Gemara in Ervin says that whenever Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue, halacha is Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Rambam paskins in the 11th Parak of Hilchos Gerushin as well. However, Balamor quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, that the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda and Anusa Mufuta have to wait 3 months. And the Baal Amar explains for two reasons. He says, first of all, since we find the halacha, poskamar machmir by Isra of Chana, that we ask for even a katana, even someone who's not able to become pregnant, we're machmir and hafchana to wait 3 months. So it makes sense that we should be gozer by Zona as well. Second of all, since according to Shmuel and Yevamos Daf Lamed Hey, and Anusa Mufuta do not have to wait, the halacha is like Shmuel, but by Gioris and Mishuchares, even Shmuel is matir, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yossi. And that's what the Rosh paskins as well. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Rambam, the Ramah paskins like the Rosh, so that is the basic machlokas Rishonim. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara now. Shnemar v'lo yason anoshi anesh. At the end of the Mishnah, we said that anyone who's chayiv Misa does not have to pay Mamon, because there's a pasuk, im lo yason anoshi anesh, that if two people are in a fight, and no one dies, then anoshi anesh, then you have to pay the Dmei Vlados, whatever monetary damage is done in the course of that fight. But that's only if no one dies. The implication is that if somebody dies, then you don't have to pay the Mamon. Why? Because of Kamlei B'Drabinei. That Pasuk is the source of Kamlei B'Drabinei. Ask the Gemara, is that Pasuk the source of Kamlei B'Drabinei? V'amei hacha nafka, mei hasam nafka, kedei rishasau, mishum rishah achasatam Isn't Kedei Risha so the source of Kamei B'Drabinei, that you can only punish someone for one Risha but not for two? So the Ritva raises the question from Kedei Risha so, you only know that when there's a Chiv of Misa and Mamon, that you only get one punishment. But you still don't know which punishment, whether it should be the Misa or the Mamon. Maybe we need Imlo Yason and Noshi Anesh to tell me that when there's an Ason, when there is Misa, there's Lo Yeyanesh. You don't have to pay the money. So we see that pasuk tells us which Misa to get, not just that you only get one. So the Ritva suggests that the Gemara doesn't mean to ask that we don't need the pasuk of Imlo Yason. It's that we don't need the pasuk of Kedei Risha Asav, because Imlo Yason we already see that you don't get both. We see the rule of Kamlei B'Drabinei, and we see which Onesh you're supposed to get. So what we're really asking is not why do I need Imlo Yason, what we're asking is why do I need Kedei Risha Asav. And furthermore, the Ritva suggests even without the pasuk of Imlo Yason, we would figure out that you get the Misa and Pata from the Mamon, because that's a Svara, that a Makabel Misa is that you should get the Misa because it's a more chamor punishment, and not the Tashlumin, which is a more kal punishment. I mean, that's something we probably could have figured out on our own, that lo yechote niskar, that by doing if you do an Avera for which you're only Chayiv Misa, you get Misa. So what? Now that you also you added to that Avera by also being Chayiv Mamon, now we're going to downgrade your own Esh. A Svara would have told us already that you get the more severe punishment. So that's how the Ritva suggests that we're asking even with just Kedei Risha, so we should know everything we need to know. Answers the Gemara, no, we need both of these psukim. Chada b'misa mamon v'chada b'malkus mamon. One's telling me a case where a person is chayv misa and money, and the other is a case where he's chayv malkus and money. In both of those cases, we say kam le b'dravine. Utsricha, we need both. If you only were to tell me Misa Mamon, I would say by Misa Mamon there's a loss of life. But by Malkus Mamon, where there's no loss of life, where there's no Ibn Hashem, we're not going to kill the guy. So I would think, give him both. Let him have Malkus and the Mamon. And if it only were to tell me that we say Kamle B'Dramine in a case where it's Malkus and Mamon, I would say, yeah, over there we're going to say Kamle B'Dramine because he didn't do anything all that terrible. He's not doing anything that he's chayiv anything more than Malkus for. But if he's chayiv Misa and Mamun, he did some pretty terrible things. So I would think we shouldn't lighten his burden by only giving him one punishment. Tzricha, that's why we need both psukim, both by Misa and Mamun and by Malkus and Mamun, to tell me that we give him everything. According to our mayor, that you can get Malkus and have to pay, then why do I need both of these psukim? Meaning, well, our whole answer was that one of the psukim is from Misa Mamun, the other is from Malkus and Mamun, that we say Kamei B'Drabinei. Rameir says, not true. By Malkus and Mamun, you don't say Kamei B'Drabinei. You give them both Malkus and Mamun. Parenthetically, the other day we mentioned that if you give, say, you hit someone, Pachas Mishav Pruta, the way we assume that you can't get Malkus and Mamun, not like Rameir, if you hit someone, a Shavar Pruta's worth, so there's Machlokas. Do you get the Mamun or do you get the Malkus? We had Ula Rabbi Yochanan. If you hit someone, Pachas Mishav Pruta, then you get the Malkus. So I mentioned the other day that it seems counterintuitive. I think I mentioned a couple of days in a row that it seems counterintuitive. You hit somebody lightly, less than a Shavapruta, so we're going to bullwhip you with 39 lashes. You hit him a Shavapruta worth, a dollar's worth, and now you have to pay a dollar. What would you rather have? So I got an email this morning from my cousin, Ellie Berman. He told me that there's a Tosos raised the Kasha in Davlam and Beis. It's a one-line Tosos. Tosos asked that Kasha, and Tosos says, yeah, because we're thinking of it from the perspective of the guy who's getting punished. What about the guy who was assaulted, the victim of the assault? He doesn't care whether you get hit or not. He just wants to get paid. So for him, he'd rather get paid if you give him if you hit him more than a shavar pruta's worth. Though my cousin pointed out, one could argue that if it's a dollar, he might rather see you get bullwhipped than get paid. Okay, but Kasha, but Tosa deals with it. So anyway, so the Gemara asks, according to a mayor, that local mishalim, what do you need tarti? What do you need both? What do I need both psukim for? So answer the Gemara, chada b'misa mamon, v'chada b'misa malchus. One of the psukim teach me about Misa Mamon, the other one is when it's Misa and Malkus. But in a chinami, we don't need a pasuk about Malkus and Mamon. Why do I need both Misa and Mamon that I only get Misa, and Misa and Malkus that I only get Misa? Utsricha. Diashmina Misa Mamon. If it only would have told me about Misa Mamon, Mishum the Chada Begufei, V'Chada Bebamone, Lo Avdinan. I would think that since one is on his physical body and one punishment is on his wallet, it's not on his physical body, so I would think we're not going to do two punishments on two that are totally unrelated to each other. Aval Bemisa Umalkus, the Idi, V'Idi Begufei, but Misa and Malkus, which are both physical punishments, Ema Misa Arichtahi Vinevidbe. I might think that that's called a long death, and therefore we should do that to him. That we could do a Misa Arichta on him. This is a svara that keeps coming up in different places. That Malkus in some way is very much related to Misa. That in a certain sense, Malkus is considered to be the beginning of death. That L'chora, one could have argued that no, they're two totally different rishayos, and they're two totally different punishments, but apparently no, the Gemara is telling us that it's one long death. The Gemara Makos has a similar idea. Makos Tafid Gimel, Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yishmael, Chayavim Misos Beisdin are Yeshnon B'chal Malkus Arbaim, and they're not Pater from Malkus Arbaim. Rabbi Yishmael holds that he even goes so far as to say that they Taka do get Malkus if they get Misos Beisdin, because Miso Malkus, Misa Richtahi. That idea, that it's a long death. So the Sefer Siach Yitzchak explains the Svara based on the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yud that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Chiv Malkus has to be done in Beis Din of 23. And Rav explains the reason is because Malkus is B'makom Misa Omedes. So Rashi says that because if a person violated Asaras Boro, if Hashem said a losase in the Torah that you're not allowed to violate this Isser, and one violated that Isser, he really deserves to die. And the Misa is the punishment that he deserves. So the Malkus is considered that just like Skila on its own is, and Harig is its own form of Misa, Malkus is really one of the forms of Misa, Rashi says. So you see that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Malkus is Misa. So Malkus and Misa might be considered one long thing. That's a Misa Arichtahi. You have that very, very close connection between Malkus and Misa. That's that expression of Rashi, that it's a fifth form of a Misa's Bezdin. It's an unbelievable idea. Any time a person violates a losase, he deserves to die because he violated Asharas Boro. God gives us oxygen to breathe, he gives us life, and we violate what he says, so a person is deserving of death. That's the Malkus is a form of death. V'yashmina Miso Malkus, had it only told me Miso Malkus, detati begufei lo avdinan. I would say that we wouldn't do two physical punishments. Al Miso Mam dechadu begufei v'chadu b'monei, eimun avidbei. But I would think two different punishments, one on his guf and one on his mamon, that we can do. Tzricha, that's why we need both limudim. Frak the Gemara, why do we, but there's another pasuk that seems to tell me, come lebed rabinei. V'lo sichu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach. It says that if a person is going to be chayiv misa, if a person murders, let's say, he doesn't pay. So, lamali, what do I need that pasuk for? Isn't it obvious that he doesn't pay? He's getting killed. Says the Gemara, no, that pasuk is not telling me that since he doesn't get killed and pay, but that pasuk is telling me, dam rachmana, lo tishkol mamoni minei v'tiftere miktala. That pasuk is telling me, no matter how much money he offers, Beis Din has to kill him. They cannot take any amount of money to pater him from paying. I mean, he can't say, look, instead of a criminal case, let's just make a civil case out of this, and in the civil lawsuit, I'll pay $50 million and then, drop all criminal charges. No, the criminal charges are going to be filed by the state, and the civil charges will be, so he could pay all he wants, but it's not going to help him with the Misa. So, losichu kof, lamasaliyam miklato lamali, but don't I already know that, because there's another pasuk that tells me that if a guy kills B'shogeg, he can't pay any amount of money to avoid having to go to a near miklat. He loves his neighborhood. He loves where he lives right now. He doesn't want to have to move to the near miklat, so he's willing to pay a ton of money. No, we cannot take that money. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? Again, it's not telling me that since he's getting galus, he's not going to have to pay money. It's telling me that we don't take money in lieu of galus. That's what that pasuk is teaching me. It says Tosos Kashal Rashba, the lovely crummy, time to be chiski enough, to look like to be in shogig lamezid, the kechid of amazed lotishkal mine monovative tremictala, of shogig lotishkal mine monovative tremigalus. Time to be chiski taught us that just like we apply kamle biramine when a person violates a chiv misa bemezid, so too if he does it bishogig, he's not actually going to get the misa because he only did it bishogig, we still apply kamle biramine, he's not going to be chai of the mamon. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Just like when a person violates a murder bemezid, he can't pay pay any amount of money to avoid his fate, so too when he violates Bishogeg, he can't pay any amount of money to avoid his fate. Isn't that all included in the Tanda Bechizkia? So Tos says, no. Lo shayich lakushe shogeg lemezid, ki agavna, kivin shein pidyon shneim shava, de pidyon shlemezid lepotur miso, pidyon shogeg lepotur migalus. Over here we're not talking about a separate monetary chiyuv. Over here we're talking about how much money he would pay to be poda, to get his kapara, to be poda his onesh. So the pidyon for the onesh of a crime that was committed b'shogeg is not nearly the same as the pidyon for an onesh for a crime that was committed b'mezid. Frankly, Mara Trekrai Lamali, why do I need both psukim? Chad b'shogeg, chad b'mezid. One tell me about shogeg, one about mezid. Utsrichi, diash min mezid. If I only would have learned that a person who kills b'mezid cannot pay his way out of his punishment, mishum d'chamari surei, I would say, yeah, because he did something really bad. Avol shogeg d'lo chamari surei milo, but someone only did something b'shogeg, where he didn't do something that terrible, because it was only a shogeg, I would think that maybe he can pay his way out of the punishment. Viash min shogeg, and if it only would have told me that a shogeg cannot pay his way out of a punishment, mishum d'laka ibn neshama, I would say that's because he's not really deserving of dying. Al v'mezid hika ibn neshama, but when he kills b'mezid, where he deserves to die, emalo, I would think, no, that you can't pay yourself your way out of. Tzricha, that's why I need both. Frankly, there's another pasuk. That you can't get a kapara for shvichas damim with any sort of payment. Lamali, why do I need that pasuk? Says Gemara, mibayli lechaditanya. That pasuk is used for the following: minayin shem nisarfa egla v'archakach nimsa horeg minayin shein potrinoso. How do I know that if they do an egla rufa and then they find the murderer? Egla rufa is when we don't know who murdered this guy; we just find the dead body. So the bezin of the closest city has to do this whole procedure of egla rufa. What if we find the guy? How do I know that we don't just let him off the hook and say, "Oh, don't worry, we already took care of it. We already did the egla rufa." That's what that pasuk is teaching me. That you can't let him off the hook just because we already did the Agla Rufa. Tosas has a fascinating comment. The Gemara learns it from this pasuk. Tosas says in Rashi and Chumash, he has the same drasha, but from a different pasuk. Vata tva'er damanaki, Rashi learns it from. So first Tosas says, V'lo iyen kan. Three little words. Rashi must have not looked at Ksubas Daf Lam Zayin Amud Beis. Then Tosa says, nah, unlikely that Rashi didn't look at Ksubas Lam Zayin Amud Beis. More likely there's a more sophisticated explanation why Rashi and Chumash quotes a different pasuk. So he gets into a whole fantastic explanation that involves a number of moving parts. Not going to get into it right now. Another pasuk, V'atah Tevar Adam Anaki Mikirbecha Lamali. What do I need the pasuk, V'atah Tevar Adam Anaki Mikirbecha? Mibay Lelich Adetanya. We need it for the following braisa. Minayin Lemumsim B'sayif Shumin Atzavar. How do I know that when a person is chayef hereg, when he's chayef sayef, that we do it at the neck, that we don't just stab him in the heart? Tamalomer v'atatvar adam anaki mikirbecha. Hukshu kol shov chidam legla rufa. Because it uses such terminology when it describes egla rufa that seem to be descriptive of any sort of chiyuv misa that you would give, not just the killing of the calf. So we in that way, the pasuk is associating other chiyuv misa with egla rufa. Malalan min atzavar, av shov chidam. Just like we kill the Agla Rufa on the neck, so too, someone who murders, we kill, who's Chayiv Hereg, we kill him on the neck, we don't stab him in the heart. Well, by the Agla Rufa, we use a big fat cleaver and we hit him on the back of the neck, we chop the back of his neck. So you want to say the same thing by Hereg? Should it be the same way? No, that can't possibly be how we do a Mises Bezin, because Mises Bezin requires that we're borer a Misa Yafa, that we do a nice death, and that would really not be a nice death to take a giant cleaver and hit him on the back of the neck with the giant meat cleaver. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Vav Halacha Gimel writes that this mitzvah of the Avta L'Reach Kamocha is that every Jew has to love every other Jew, and therefore you have to be mesaper b'shivcho, you have to praise other people, and lachos al mamono, you have to be careful about other people's money the same way you're careful about your own money, and you have to want someone else to be honored the same way you'd want your own honor, etc. And it goes through what you have to do for a v'avta l'reach kamocha. But there's an interesting discussion whether the mitzvah v'afta l'reach kmocha applies, that goes Maimonios in Hilchos Deos over there, says, yeah, v'afta l'reacha. Reacha means reacha b'torah mitzvos. But in Adam Rasha, is not mekabel tocha, it's a mitzvah l'sanoso. You have a mitzvah to hate him, there's no mitzvah v'afta l'reach kmocha. So the Mishnah Berurah just points out, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, that if you see a person that's a Rasha, that's Avar Avera, for Semes B'Yisrael, and he's not mekabel tocha, it's mitzvah l'sanoso, based on that Agos Maimonios. But the post can point out, l'chora, our sugi is a raya not that way, because we're dealing with the guy who's chayiv misa, and that's the source. V'afta l'reach kmocha is the source that we use about how to kill the person. So that's a major discussion in the Achronim. Why it is that, or how it is that v'afta l'reach kmocha could apply even to such a Rasha. The Satmar Rebbe in the Yoel Moshe discusses a lot about this. When it's a mitzvah l'sanoso, and when it's v'afta l'reach kmocha, because his public statements about Zionists were not full of love and warmth and cheer. So he tries to explain that he believes that it's mitzvah l'sanoso in those situations. He says that when people say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim that he would always be matztik rishayim, he says that's when you daven to Hashem to be matztik rishayim. That Hashem, don't go so hard on the rishayim, but to make public statements to be matztik rishayim, you can never do that, because then other people are going to learn to be rishayim. So you have to publicly call a Rasha. You have to say what it is. I just read recently, Satmar Rebbe's first job in Rabbanus was in Kloisenberg, when the Dor Revii, who's the Rav there for over 40 years, he became too big of a Zionist for the community, so there's a Hungarian Rav, and he became a big Zionist, so some of the community broke off because they didn't want a Zionist rabbi, so they hired a young Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. His first shteller was because he wasn't a Zionist. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow.